you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near.
Reading from Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. To the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, "These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." That was Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, May 8th, 2024. I trust if you were tuned in yesterday, you're returning today to hear some more comments, thoughts, insights from Mark Batterson on his book, The Circle Maker. Pastor Jason Schiffel joins me in the studio, and this was a broadcast from some years ago, and because I've been so busy attending to many of the things that Howard Fox did as our chief engineer, I've been driving around doing a lot of maintenance and updates and problem solving all the way to our two tower sites in Macomb and Lincoln and the Bloomington Normal area, and obviously Champaign-Urbana and Springfield, so I've been hopping. But I enjoyed listening to this interview from some years back and feel the topic is timeless. The interview was put together well, and we'll all be blessed with a better understanding of dreaming big, praying hard, thinking long, as pastor, preacher, teacher, author Mark Batterson shares, and Pastor Jason Schiffel helps co-host the program. Here were my opening comments.
Well, I hope to make it certainly clear that we're glad you're tuned in, knowing that God loves you, for I'm sure God would say to you, and in fact has said to you, he so loved the world, he so loved you, that he gave his one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That has to be the greatest Valentine message that can ever be communicated or shared this very day. So know that God loves you, that he has a plan and purpose for your life. And hopefully through today's broadcast, part two of Jason and my interview with Mark Batterson, author of The Circle Maker, this message of love and this message of getting to know God in a personal way through prayer, learning how to dream big, pray hard, and think long as you see God answering prayer, prayer that is according to his will, and yet the kind of intercession that you would make that he would delight in and welcome. So stay tuned, because I know everyone that was tuned in yesterday has returned to part two today. Pastor Jason Schiffo and I talked with Mark Batterson, and so those of you that were tuned in yesterday, I know you're back, and those of you today that happened to be scanning your dial or learned about this interview, I welcome you to go to greatnewsradio.org and listen to part one at our archived programs link, so you can learn all about The Circle Maker, praying circles around your biggest dreams and greatest fears, authored by Pastor Mark Batterson. Sharing inspiring stories from his own experience as a circle maker, Mark Batterson will encourage you to pray circles around your biggest dreams and greatest fears, the kind of audacious prayers that God delights to answer. I'm going to begin part two of Jason Schiffo and my conversation with Mark Batterson by rewinding it just a bit as Jason begins asking Mark to clarify or define a little more what praying circles are all about, helping us better understand Mark Batterson's book, The Circle Maker. So here is Jason.
Early on, you did a prayer walk around D.C., and that prayer walk, I'm guessing that that was kind of your metaphor for your big circle you made. But if you could just clarify what for people the circle looks like, because immediately when I read the book, I mean, I'd already known about The Legend of Honey. So I read the book, and immediately I thought about a run on, like, white chalk at the local Target. You know, people buying chalk like crazy, all our listeners, because they want to draw circles around themselves.
Yeah.
And You know, suddenly people don't show up to church because they're standing in their circle instead. So could you maybe tell us, or maybe even release people to understand how big the idea of the circle is?
Yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting is that it's a metaphor that really can be applied in lots of different ways. For example, one of my heartbeats for the book is that people wouldn't read it by themselves, but that they would read it in groups and that those groups would become prayer circles. Now, that's terminology that in many churches is used to describe 2, 3, 10 people agreeing in prayer about something. I just think that we've left our greatest weapon in its holster and not used it. There is power when we agree in the will of God with one another. And so, you know, I think part of the idea of drawing a prayer circle is praying with other people. I also think it means that we're going to surround something with prayer, and then we're going to keep praying through. Let me give you an example. When my oldest son, Parker, who's now 16, and I have a 14-year-old daughter, Summer, and a 10-year-old son, Josiah, when Parker was just a baby, the Lord put it in my heart to turn Luke 2:52 into a prayer. And so thousands of times I have circled my children with this blessing: may you grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. Now, that's not a physical circle, but I feel like I have circled them with that promise, with that prayer, thousands of times. And so the idea is just to keep on praying through. And then occasionally, you know, I am doing this interview from Ebenezer's Coffee House. It's 4 blocks from the nation's capital. It's been voted the number one coffee house in D.C. We have about 600 customers a day. Every penny of profit goes to missions. It's an amazing place where the church and community cross paths. Well, here's the deal. This miracle, this coffee house, it took 5 years of circling it in prayer. And I literally physically would walk circles around this piece of property just saying, God, I believe this is promised land. I believe it belongs to you. I believe we need to do something for your glory here. And here's the crazy thing. 4 people offered more money for it, 2 of them real estate developers, and we got it. And we have since built this coffee house, and it's a wonderful place where so many people encounter the love of Christ and get a great cup of coffee. But it was prayer. And so when people walk in, what they see is a coffee house. And I'm quick to tell them, this is not a coffee house. This is what an answered prayer looks like. This is what prayer looks like. When you circle something in prayer and it's in the will of God and for the glory of God, then look out, because God's going to do some miracles, and it's not going to be your fingerprints on it. It's going to be His fingerprints, and those are some of the greatest moments in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. And I love that you brought up Jesus and coffee in the same sentence, because I think there's not a big divide between the two.
You know, there's not. In fact, there is a little theology behind our coffee house endeavor that, you know, Jesus didn't just hang out in the synagogue. He didn't go hang out with religious people in religious places. He hung out at wells. Well, wells were natural gathering places in ancient culture, third places, if you will. And in a sense, we feel like coffee houses are postmodern wells. And instead of water, we just serve coffee, and we let God handle some of those divine appointments that take place.
Yeah, I had a friend who he was meeting somebody. He recounted a story for him. He said he was meeting somebody at a Starbucks or one of these coffee shops for a meeting, and he's a missionary. And he said he gets there and he said, hey, what can I get for you? What can I order for you? And he orders a big venti coffee, and his friend goes, I'll have tea. And my friend Bill's right away, he said, I put my hand on his shoulder and I said, do you know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? So that made me laugh when you recounted that. I would love, though, Mark, if you would, in the book, you say that there's one of these, your most circled promises, and it's out of Revelation 3, verses 7 and 8. And I would love to hear why that speaks to your heart. Maybe how that can speak to, maybe there's somebody today who's grappling with, how do I even begin a promise of a circle, or how do I even begin that? And maybe this time-honored promise for you in Scripture might be the leaping off point for them. So I would love if you could maybe talk about that.
Oh, I would love it. And let me just say to those who are listening that the most powerful form of prayer is praying the Bible. Can I just point out that the Bible wasn't meant to be read? If you're just reading it, you're misreading it. It was meant to be prayed. It's God speaking to us, and then prayer is the way that we talk back to the Lord. So it kind of turns it into a dialogue. And so it's a powerful thing to begin to pray through the Bible. And I think the promises in particular are really incredible. So one of my favorite promises is there in Revelation 3. It says that what God opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. And then there's this beautiful statement, see, I have placed before you an open door. Well, that first became meaningful to me when we were praying for a place to meet, and I was praying circles around Union Station, and I'll be honest, it felt like it was too big, it was too good. I mean, you know, it's the train stop here in D.C., but it's also a mall, and they had movie theaters. And I prayed circles around that place and then finally walked in, and sure enough, the Lord opened a door, and we met there for 13 years. And so we saw God answer that prayer. But then those theaters closed, and I learned an important lesson, that you can't just pray half of the promise. I mean, if you pray for open doors, you also have to be willing to accept closed doors, because sometimes that's the way that God leads us to something that's even bigger and better. And so when those theaters closed down, I'm not going to lie, I was devastated. I thought God misheard or didn't answer our prayer, but here we are less than 2 years later, and in the wake of that, we have since acquired a $3 million movie theater right on Main Street, Capitol Hill, that is so much better than the situation we were in. We've also acquired an $8 million piece of property that we own debt-free, where we'll build a future campus. And by the way, both of those properties right on that prayer circle that I prayed 15 years ago. And so I just think we need to trust the Lord to do what the Lord does. He opens and closes doors that you can't possibly open. And I think when we pray that promise, then we see God go to work in our lives in a way that is beyond what we can take credit for.
So much of what you're saying resonates with me, because this radio ministry, we love God's word, and yet a way of entering into that relationship with God through his word is also through times of prayer, rich times of prayer. And so I appreciate so much your book. And for our listeners who are just maybe tuning in, driving to work, or because this re-airs, maybe they're in between tasks or just finishing up with dinner. We have Pastor Mark Batterson on the phone with us. We're talking about his book, The Circle Maker. We recommend it to all of our radio listeners. And stay with us, and we'll give you information on how you can purchase a copy. And what's the website people would go to?
Well, they can go to markbatterson.com for my personal blog.
Okay.
I'm on Twitter, Mark Batterson, and thecirclemaker.com actually has a free sample chapter that people could go there and read.
So you can go to markbatterson.com or thecirclemaker.com, and that's the name of the book, The Circle Maker. Mark, let me share twofold questions, and they're always loaded. When I start asking questions, they're always filled with lots of things, but I want to know what your heart is as a takeaway for those that will read the book. So if you could share what the takeaway you would desire, if God could answer your prayer for this book, what that takeaway would be. And then also for that individual, because we have a lot of different people that scan the dial that maybe have never entered into a time of prayer. So maybe they're a little afraid or scared of that. Or what would prayer look like for someone that has never entered into a time of prayer to a God that they may not know?
Yeah, you know, I think it's as simple as just speaking in your normal voice to your Heavenly Father. You know, I think sometimes if we have a big problem or we need a big miracle, we'll start speaking in King James, or we'll pull out the biggest theological word that we can think of. Listen, it's not about the combination of the 26 letters of the English alphabet. That's not what moves God's heart. It's not like we need to come up with the right abracadabra. At the end of the day, God knows a word before it's even on your tongue. And so then the natural question is, well, then why do I even need to pray? Why do I even need to bring it up? Well, listen, Jesus said you have not because you ask not. Wait, so are you saying that God can't do it if I don't pray? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he won't, that there are some things that God won't do except in answer to prayer. And I would just throw this out there. I think the greatest tragedy in life are the prayers that go unanswered because they go unasked. And so we need to learn to pray without ceasing, for our lives to become a prayer that we pray to God. But the way you start is just in that conversation, just like you might talk to a friend or talk to a spouse or a child. You know what? You just begin to speak to God out of your heart. And if your heart's in the right place, then I've found the Lord responds to that and loves to have conversations with his children.
And then I guess the other question would be, if your personal prayer was answered, what would you want the reader to take away from your book?
Yeah, yeah. In Luke chapter 11, the disciples ask Jesus a question. And let me tell you what they don't ask him. They don't say, Lord, teach us to lead. They don't say, Lord, teach us to preach. They don't say, Lord, teach us to start 501c3 nonprofits. They ask him this question, Lord, teach us to pray. Mm-hmm. Listen, I don't have this thing figured out. You know I wrote a book, but I'm just learning how to pray. But that's my whole posture, to the Lord. And my prayer for those who read The Circle Maker is just to say, Lord, teach me to pray. Listen, there are new dimensions of prayer. There's a new place of power in prayer. Some of us have only ever prayed for ourselves. We've never even interceded for another person, or we've only prayed for things, but we've never learned to pray through. Well, my hope is that at the end of the day, when people put down The Circle Maker, that their prayer lives are changed, that they pray in a different way, that they pray with more specificity, with more consistency, and at the end of the day, that through their prayers, I believe that's how the kingdom comes. That's how God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah, I would agree, Mark. In fact, I just pulled out my iPhone here and I did a search on heaven and earth. I did it out of the NIV. I know you mentioned King James, but I did it out of the NIV here. And it's always in relation to praising, lifting, proclaiming, and praying to God is when heaven and earth come together. And I do love in the Lord's Prayer there in Matthew and in Luke that the center, the central thing that happens inside that prayer is heaven and earth coming together. It's a difference between the ours, our Father, and the yours, or, you know, the individual people's needs and God's, what God is, and the intersection there is heaven and earth. So I appreciate that.
Oh, I love it. You know, the Celtic Christians had a name for those moments when heaven and earth seem to meet. You know, those moments where you're out in creation and overwhelmed by the majesty and beauty of God's creation, or those moments you're in a worship service and you feel like your soul is just raptured in the presence of God. They called them thin places, places where it's almost like God pulls back the veil just a little bit to reveal a little bit more of his glory and his goodness. And I think prayer is how we experience that. And ultimately, it's not just about the act of prayer. What it really is, it's about getting in the presence of God. Now, the way we get into God's presence is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice he made on the cross. And because of that, we can be in right standing with God. And he invites us. He says, approach the throne of grace with confidence. And so, man, God invites us into his throne room to kneel at his feet. Yeah. And when we do that, we are in a place of incredible authority as the children of God. And that's when we begin to see God move both heaven and earth.
Yeah, our Jewish brothers and sisters, I think they call that Kavanaugh. Abraham Joshua Heschel, I think in his book, Man in Search of God, says that's where our intentions meet his presence. And then that's when things open up and they kind of explode. So I love it.
Mark, in closing here, I thought how apropos or how appropriate for us and our listeners to say, Mark, how can we pray for you? You're on the cutting edge. God's using you. He's working in and through your ministry, in and through your church, in and through this book, The Circle Maker, to educate us, to encourage us, to bless us toward praying more, towards praying big, towards looking at this enormous, wonderful, almighty, sovereign God that can do all things and that desires that we can come to him, not just with small requests, but with grand requests. What would be ways that we could pray for you?
Well, the first thing is I love my wife and three kids. And when you're in ministry, I found that sometimes the enemy wants to kind of come in and attack you on that level. And so nothing's more precious to me than my wife and kids. And so I would covet prayers for me and my family. But beyond that, wouldn't it be amazing if another revival, another great awakening started right here in the nation's capital? Mm. And you know what? We don't have to lead that. I just want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of another move of God that sees people come to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Mm. And so to that end, we labor and we pray and would certainly covet your prayers as you think about Washington, D.C., or maybe as you're watching the election or debates that are upcoming, man, maybe say a prayer for National Community Church as we try to really make a difference behind the scenes in a spiritual way, and believing that those spiritual realities will make a difference in the political arena.
Yeah, well, I know that right away earlier when you said you had a 14-year-old daughter, I said, I got to pray for this guy because my daughter is, she's 4 and I look at 14 and I go, oh my word.
I love it. I love it.
Well, thank you, Mark. We will continue to be praying up your ministry and your work and this book, The Circle Maker, that many of our Great News Radio listening family will go out and purchase a copy or stop by your website to learn more about your ministry and the things that you're doing. Mark Batterson, and that's MarkBatterson.com or TheCircleMaker.com, TheCircleMaker.com. Support Mark and his endeavor to be a vehicle that God works in and through on a daily basis. He pastors a church in Washington, D.C. He's the senior pastor of the National Community Church in Washington. And thank you, Mark, for being available and carving out this time. And if you're in the area, we'd give you some great coffee and treat you around here. If you're stopping by or in and through Illinois or the Champaign-Urbana area, we'd look forward to meeting up someday.
Well, let me flip the invitation around as well. And any listeners or Mark and Jason, if you guys are in D.C., please stop by Ebenezer's. We kind of view it as one of the monuments on the monument tour. So swing by, grab a cup of coffee on us. Oh, man, you guys, what a privilege. And I actually grew up in a western suburb of Chicago. So Illinois is a part of my my root system.
Oh, what suburb?
Naperville.
Oh, sure. Yeah, in fact, I went to College of DuPage, you know, COD. We call it UCLA, University Closest to the Lombard Area.
Yeah, my wife went to college there, too. So.
I love it.
Oh, yeah, Wheaton. I was a grocery store manager, so Jewel food stores all around the area.
So were you running down by the river, Mark, or no?
Oh, yeah, man, a little bit of river walk.
Beautiful.
Hey, thanks so much.
Hey, what a privilege. God bless you guys. And thanks so much for the privilege of being on.
Well, I don't know about you, but I might even take up drinking coffee because I'm so encouraged and blessed by Mark Batterson and his book, The Circle Maker. If you want to purchase a copy or learn more about his ministry, you can go to TheCircleMaker.com, TheCircleMaker.com. Well, we're out of time, and may we all become circle makers, dreaming big, praying hard, and thinking long about the Lord Jesus Christ and Almighty God, who is worthy of our praise.